How many of you saw the movie Chariots of Fire? Anybody see that movie? Anybody see that movie? Anybody see that movie? Yeah. There was this great runner named Abraham, and his coach just really just trained Abraham, and he was very disciplined and really, really equipped Abraham to win a lot of races. And Abraham was running and winning race after race after race after race. And then Abraham was in a race, and he was running a race, and he got close to the finish line, and then he looked to see where his competitor was. And when he looked, he ended up losing the race. And after the race, his coach told him, that look cost you the race. He got distracted by a person. And just like Abraham, many people are distracted from God's purpose because they're looking at people. And in this series, we've learned that Christ's followers get distracted from purpose by focusing on position, power, promotion, prominence, popularity, and by focusing on people. Can I tell you that focusing on people will cause you to miss your purpose? Yeah, Pastor. I know that's right. People will cause me to miss my purpose, and that's why I don't have anything to do with people. Pastor, people are crazy. Come on, lift your hand if you know any crazy people. Come on, lift your hand. Come on, now look around and see who didn't lift their hand, because you know why, don't you? Come on, yeah, huh? Yeah, Pastor, people are crazy. I just keep people out of my life. Hold up now. See, keeping people out of your life is not the answer. See, there's a delicate balance when it comes to navigating people and God's purpose, because we actually need people to accomplish our God-given purpose. But on the other hand, people can also distract us from our purpose. There are two extremes you have to avoid. Let me teach you this. When it comes to people and God's purpose, two extremes. First extreme is this. I don't need people. I don't need people. I don't have anything to do with people. I don't care about people. I don't care what they think about me. I'll do whatever I want to do. And I don't care what people think. But the Apostle Paul actually wrote these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21. For we are taking great pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but in the eyes of man. Paul says, I want to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of people. He cared about what others thought about him. He cared about his reputation. And church, you and I should care what other people think about us. We should care about our reputation. You should care what your spouse thinks of you. Come on, all the married folks say, yeah. You should care what your children or your parents think of you. You should care what your boss, your employees, or your coworkers think of you. You should care what the teacher or the coach thinks of you. You should care what your friends think of you. You need people to fulfill your God-given purpose. But the other extreme is this. The other extreme that you have to avoid is being consumed and controlled by what other people think about you. When this happens, you become a people pleaser rather than a God pleaser. And Paul wrote these words in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Which one is it, Paul? Do I do what is right in the eyes of people, or do I please God? The answer is, you do both. This is a tension to manage, not a problem to solve. We want to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of people. But people's church, we live to please God. Our entire life should be all about pleasing our Heavenly Father. Our entire life should be all about bringing God glory with our lives. And yet, as we study the Bible, we see there are times that we please God by pleasing people. There are times. You please your Heavenly Father by pleasing people. When I love my wife, Tiffany, like Christ loves the church, with this sacrificial love, it pleases God. Pleasing Tiffany pleases God. But the extreme that I want to address today, that I see destroying so many people, is how so many people are consumed and controlled with being a people pleaser. Some of you today, underneath the sound of my voice, will watch this message later online, archived on YouTube. Some of you are not living out your God-given purpose because you're distracted with being a people pleaser instead of a God pleaser. And today what I want to do is I want to expose some common people distractions that will keep you from your purpose. And if you're new with us today, in this series, we're studying the life of David and we're looking at his life. And today I want to examine David's life and I want us to learn how David dealt with the common people distractions that we all deal with. But David overcame these people distractions and he lived out his God-given purpose. He became the king of Israel. How did David deal with these common people distractions? Let's look at it. Number one, distracted by the approval of people. Distracted by the approval of people. David had opportunity after opportunity to become controlled by needing the approval of people. I want you to hear what scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I have come to the sacrifice to the Lord." Samuel the prophet, he showed up at Jesse's house. This is the father of David. And he goes on to say, "Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them. Come on, everybody shout them. That was weak church. Shout them. Yeah, he invited them to the sacrifice. Samuel invited all of Jesse's sons to the sacrifice. And at the sacrifice, the next king of Israel was going to be selected and anointed at the sacrifice. He invited all the sons. Now notice verse 11 says, it says, "So he asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you have?' He says, 'They're still the youngest.' Jesse answered, 'He is tending the sheep.'" For some reason, David's dad left him outside to take care of the sheep. And when David finally was invited inside of the house, he could have been easily distracted, seeking after his dad's approval. "Hey, Dad, I was wondering why I was out there with the sheep, why all my other brothers were inside the house. Dad, do you like me? Dad, do you think I'm good enough? Do you think I have what it takes? I mean, does my own daddy believe in me?" David could have been obsessed over the fact that his dad did not invite him inside of the house. And some of you are obsessing over things that really don't matter because you need the approval of people. You're seeking people's approval instead of God's purpose. But David lived out his purpose because he wasn't controlled by needing the approval of people. Let me give you another example. David, he showed up to the Valley of Elah. He was bringing food to his brothers who were soldiers in the Israelite army. And when he arrived, there was this giant named Goliath who was intimidating the entire Israelite army. And David told King Saul, "I'll go and fight him." The rest of the army, they were intimidated. They were scared to go fight the giant. But David said, "I will go." And I want you to notice what King Saul says to David. He says in verse number 33, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. You're a boy. He's been a warrior from his youth. Herbert Cooper's translation, he's going to eat your lunch. That's what the king is saying. King Saul did not think that David could win a fight against this giant warrior. But David did not get distracted. He did not get insecure or consumed with seeking the approval of the king. I mean, as you read this story, David wasn't wounded because the king didn't believe in him. He didn't say, Mr. King, I'm so hurt. You called me young. I mean, what do I have to do to get you to believe in me? He didn't seek validation. He didn't seek approval. And some of you are not living out your God-given purpose because you're distracted. You're just chasing after the approval of people. You're so hungry to get the approval of people. And the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you is to be consumed with what people think about you. You need to break free from needing the approval of people. And the way you break free is you have to know what your heavenly Father thinks about you. You have to know that he approves of you. In just a few moments, I'm going to show you how David knew God was with him, that God approved of him. But first, I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God. Come on, everybody shout, approved by God. That's so key, approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. If you're a Christ follower, you have to understand this biblical truth. You're already approved by God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you don't have to work overtime to win the approval of people because you are already approved by your heavenly Father. God approves of you. God is with you. God is for you. So you live your life to please God. You live your life to honor God. God, how can I please you? You approve of me. How do I just please you with my life? So make decisions that please God, not people. Before you ask yourself if people are pleased with your decision, you have to first ask yourself, is God pleased with your decision? Is God pleased with how I'm talking to people? Is God pleased with me going to this place? Is God pleased if I say yes to this opportunity? Is God pleased with how I'm treating people? When God is pleased with you, church, he opens doors that no person can close. I know they didn't invite you inside the house to be selected to be the next king. I know they didn't invite you inside the house to be selected for the job or the position or the promotion. But can I tell you, if your life is pleasing to God, God will open up the right door to get you to your purpose. People can't stop your purpose when your life is pleasing to God. You're already approved by God. Don't live to please people. Live to please God. And if you'll live to please God, he'll get you to your purpose. Number two is this: distracted by what others possess. David fulfilled his purpose because he didn't get distracted by the positions or the blessings of other people. After he was anointed to be the next king, around 15 years went by before David actually became the king of Israel. Think about this. For 15 years, David watched King Saul remain in this position with the power, with the prominence, with the popularity. And yet David knew that God had destined him for this position. Can I tell you, it can be very challenging when you believe God has spoken to you about a job, a leadership position, a ministry role, a standard of living, an opportunity, and it seems to keep passing you by. And other people are experiencing blessings and blessings and blessings, and you believe that God wants you to experience some of those blessings. And in those moments, church, don't get distracted by people. Don't become jealous because they have the job. Don't become jealous because they have the position. Don't become jealous because they have the opportunity. Don't become jealous because they have the blessings. Don't become jealous of their gifts, of their calling, of their possessions. David never got distracted by King Saul. He actually showed up to the palace and he served the king. And this crazy demon-possessed king tried to kill David on so many occasions. And when David had the opportunity to kill this evil king, he refused to do so. David didn't get even. David did not get jealous. He trusted God. Here's what David knew. He knew what God had for him was for him. All he had to do was stay focused on pleasing God. And church, if you will stay focused on pleasing God, people can't stop your purpose. So in the waiting season, let me help somebody. In the waiting season, don't get jealous of people. Don't be a hater, be a celebrator. Don't speak negatively about people. Speak positive things. Guard your heart from jealousy. Guard your heart and your mouth from speaking negative talk towards people and about people. Don't get jealous. Get prepared for what God has prepared for you. Can I tell you, your Heavenly Father is no respecter of people. If you will live your life to please your Heavenly Father, He will get you to your purpose. Live to please God. Number three is this: distracted by the harsh words of people. Another common way you and I get distracted is by obsessing over the harsh and critical words of people. Hey, I want this to sink into your heart today. You got to know this. There will always be people who say hateful things to you. I don't care how much you pray, how much you read your Bible, how holy you are. There will be people who are critical of you. They will say mean things about you. They will write about you on social media. They will degrade, belittle, and question your motives. You don't really love God. You're a hypocrite. You're not qualified. You have impure motives. Sometimes your own family is hurtful. But your own family will say harsh words to you. Come on, anybody ever have any of your family members talk crazy to you? You're a fool. You're stupid. You're dumb. You're an idiot. You're just like your no good daddy and no good mama. David lived out his purpose and he became king because he did not get distracted by the harsh and critical words of people. I want to read this to you. I think it's so key. Here's what David's oldest brother said to him. When David showed up at the Valley of Elah, when they were intimidated by this giant named Goliath, listen to what his oldest brother said to him. It says, when Eliab, in verse 28, 1 Samuel 17, David's oldest brother heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?" You hear that? You're taking care of a few sheep. Got a little sheep. "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." If I'd have been David, I'd been, what you've been doing the last 40 days. But I'm not David. I'm not David. David's oldest brother, he had a sharp tongue. It would cut you. "You've just been keeping those few sheep. You're not important, David. You just watch a few sheep. You just got a little job." Have you ever had someone cut you with those little comments? "You just got a little job, little position, little money, little ministry, little dream. You got that little blessing. I see you with that little blessing." Right? Trying to cut you. And then David's brother tells him he's got a wicked heart. All of a sudden, David's brother, he can see people's hearts. "Let me tell you about your heart." He said, "You're conceited. I mean, these were no doubt hard words to hear from David's oldest brother, whom he respected. No doubt he looked up to his older brother. And then later that very same day, David dealt with more harsh and critical words. This time it came from Goliath, the Philistine giant. Now, notice what Goliath says to him in 1 Samuel 17, verse 42. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy. I love how he says he looked him over. I sometimes visualize the Bible. Like he's looking David over like, what's that little boy out here for? He's the little boy glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David. I'll let you fill in the blank on what he might have said, but I'm just going to read that and move on. He cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Goliath said some harsh words to David, but David did not get distracted by the harsh words of people. He knew what God said about him mattered more than what people said about him. He kept his focus on the Lord. And I want you to see this. I want you to see David's response. He just dealt with his brother speaking harsh words. Now he dealt with this giant speaking harsh words. And David's response in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 to the giant. David said to the Philistine, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. David knew he was approved by God. He knew God was with him. He said, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day, the Lord. I mean, his focus is on the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Later in that verse, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord, I'm focused on the Lord. The Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Here's what we learn from David. Don't let what people say about you distract you from what God says about you. Don't treat the words of people like they're the words of God. Always allow the words of God to be louder than the words of people. What does God say? I know what they said, but what does God say about you? Let that be loud. What does God say about you? He says you're a child of God. You're a son or a daughter of God, that you're a friend of God. He says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, that you're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed in your coming in. You're blessed in your going out. You're chosen by God. You're a royal priest. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You're more than a conqueror. What does God say about you? Always allow the words of God to be louder than the words of people. Number four is this: distracted by the request of people. By the request of people, distracted. If you're going to live out your God-given purpose, you have to learn to say no to people. If you say yes to every opportunity people bring your way, you will miss the opportunities that God brings your way. If you're always saying yes to people's plans for your life, you will end up saying no to God's plan for your life. David said no to people so he could say yes to God. When David was getting ready to go fight Goliath, King Saul put his armor on David. And I want to just read this to you in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38. It says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. He wanted David to fight wearing his armor. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. He says, I cannot go in these. He said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. This is such a powerful portion of scripture. Think about this. David said no to the most powerful man in all of Israel. He wasn't being rude to him. He wasn't being a jerk. David simply knew the abilities God had given him. He knew he could not use the gifts God had given King Saul and live out God's purpose for his own life. So he said no to a good thing so he could say yes to a God thing. The sling and a rock is what I use. Some of you have to learn to say no to people so you can say yes to God. People pleasing is destroying your purpose. You've got to learn to say no. Let's practice, church. Everybody say no. You can say no. Yeah, you don't even have to be mean to say no. Right? You can be nice and still say no. You got to learn to say no so you can say yes to God. No, I can't attend the event. No, I'm sorry. I can't go to lunch or dinner. No, I can't let you borrow more money. You hadn't paid me back the last three times I gave you, buddy. No. No, you can't come over. No, I can't commit to do that. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to live out my purpose. Oh, that's a really great opportunity that you're offering, but no, I can't. No, I can't come over today. No, you can't go on a date with me. I go to dates with people that love Jesus. No, you can't have sex with me. Not until I'm married. No, you can't touch this. No, I can't speak at your event. No, I can't buy that. Thanks for the offer, but I can't buy that. No, I can't write that. I can't write that essay. No, I can't write for that project. No, I can't write that book. No, I can't do that project. You have to learn to say no. I have to say no way more than I say yes. And the reason I say, not to be a jerk, not to be mean, but I genuinely want to live out God's purpose for my life. And here's what I can tell you about life. For the majority of you, you'll never be lacking opportunities. Opportunities will come your way constantly. I think about my own life, just opportunities to speak and to travel and to speak out, just opportunities to write books. When you gonna write the next book? I got a public. Just write. Can you write for this article? Can you mentor me? Can you counsel me? Can you go to this meeting? Can you do this podcast interview? Can you do this television interview? Can you go on this mission trip? We're gonna cover you and your whole family. Just go on this mission. Yes, there's always opportunities. Don't let pleasing people destroy your God. Given purpose. You gotta know God has a purpose for my life. And if I say yes to everybody else's plan for my life, I'll say no to God's plan for my life. Let these words minister to your heart today. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Please let them minister to you. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want to do what's right in the eyes of God and the eyes of people, but I'm living to please God. I'm living to bring him glory. I'm living to stand before him one day and to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Live your life to please God, and he will get you to your God-given purpose. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're speaking to us, Lord. I thank you that I'm speaking the words of God that you've given me to prepare people for their purpose. And I pray today that we would be God pleasers. I pray this over our church family, Lord, that we would live to please you, to honor you, Lord, to live out our God-given purpose. Father, I thank you right now that you're speaking to our hearts. I thank you right now that, Lord, that you're ministering to us about not not having to have the approval of people. Lord, we are approved by you. You're speaking to us, Lord, right now about the harsh words of people, God. You're speaking to us, Lord, not to be consumed with those words that have been spoken to us by people, not to obsess over what other people have and their possessions and their gifts, but God, where you have for us is for us. God, I thank you right now that you're speaking to our hearts. And I thank you that today we're making a decision to live to please our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. As eyes are closed and heads are bowed today, I know that I'm talking to some people that if you were honest and you were raw and you were real, you're not living to please God. You're living to please people. You're trying to please people. That's why you're in that relationship that you shouldn't be in. That's why you're doing that drug, popping those pills, going to that club. That's why you're hanging out with those people. That's why you're giving that person your body. That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why you're involved in that lifestyle. That's why you're trying to please people. And today, sir, today, ma'am, stop trying to please people and start pleasing God. Some of you used to please God, or you used to live for God, but now you're living to please people. You've turned away from the things of God and you've turned your life to please people. If that's you, as I count to three, you want to give your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. You've been pleasing man, pleasing yourself, pleasing your flesh, pleasing your friends, but now you want to start pleasing God. If that's you, as I count to three, would you raise your hand high? I want to lead you in a prayer. 1, 2, 3. Would you lift your hand high right now and say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. See your hand there. Others today. Pastor, I want to say yes to him. That's it. Others today. Midwest City. Northwest. Just lift it high. Mabel Bassett. Just lift it high. See your hand there in the back. Just lift your high. Edmund. Just lift it high. Online. Click the raise your hand button. If that's you. Somebody else today. See your hand there. Somebody else today. Pastor, I've been living to please people instead of pleasing God. And today I'm going to start living to please my Heavenly Father. Is there somebody else today? Just lift your hand high. See your hand there. Somebody else today. Just waiting another moment. Is there somebody else you want to lift your hand? See your hand there. Somebody else today. Somebody else today. I'm going to ask you, every hand that's raised, to pray this prayer with me. Confess it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart, and God's going to wash away your sins. Pray with me now. Heavenly Father, I turn from my sin. I turn away from trying to please people. And today I say with my mouth and my heart, I'm going to live to please God. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He rose on the third day. I give Jesus Christ my heart and my life. My life is yours, Lord, from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.